and welcome back to part two of the episode, Remember the Time. This is part two. Make sure you go listen to part one, where we talk about a lot of things, and we're going to talk about more things in this episode. This episode is chaos, like the episode of Grey's Anatomy is, and so then this episode also has
been, and probably
will continue to be.
For sure.
Okay, so this, we're going to start with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
And we have five.
What the fuck?
Five people in Shondaland this week.
All right. Number one is going to be... I have no notes to look back at. This is hard. The two people in the air, in the helicopter plane that picks them up.
No.
The paramedics. No, neither of them?
Yeah.
Who else is even in this episode? Is it...
Oh, wait. Just kidding. One of the flight nurses is...
Was it... There was a guy and a girl, right?
Yeah. The man.
The man. Okay.
The one who says, what the hell did they do to that guy out there?
Yeah, they kept him alive, you dingleberry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's one. The other one is going to be the doctor that was talking to Callie and Derek.
Yep.
Okay. Who, at first, he looked like Davy Jones, but he was not the guy who plays Davy Jones.
Yes.
Okay. You know who I'm talking about, though? The famous guy? He was also the dad in that movie Time Traveler guy with Rachel McAdams. It was the dad.
Yeah.
What's his name? Someone is screaming at their
Bill Nye.
Bill Nye! No. Bill
yeah,
Nye.
But not, science, not science Bill Nye, but Bill Nye.
Bill British Nye. Bill Nye. Nye. Bill Nye.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like spelled weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, now I want to watch fucking Pirates of the Caribbean 2. Ugh, what a great movie. The best one of all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, hands down. So the other people are going to be, is it the person that Owen was yelling at about the window and they're like,
yes.
She's got to go up to psych.
Yes. Okay.
So
you've got three. So you have two more.
Is it the two people who were sitting in the gallery while Meredith made the phone call to Christina?
No.
No. Are they people who are wearing masks who we really don't even get to see their faces?
No. And what's interesting is there are five people. Three that you have guessed are all men, and the two that you have not guessed are women.
Okay.
You know what that means.
No, it doesn't mean what you're about to say it means. Fuck you.
Loves it when I say that.
Stop talking and go make me a sandwich. So
I did make a really good sandwich for lunch today.
Side note, I saw this incredible, I don't know who posted it on Instagram, but it was basically a flow chart to know if you're mansplaining or not. Have you seen this floating around the internet?
I don't think so.
Basically,
it's like, are you a man talking to a woman?
No, it was like, did the woman ask you for your opinion? And it was yes, and then no. But no had like 12 different things that came from it, and they all ended with your mansplaining.
Yep.
The only time that it wasn't mansplaining was when she literally asks specifically.
Yeah, correct.
Anyways, yeah, just don't mansplain people. And I'll explain that to you one day when you don't ask.
Oh, thank you.
Kelsey. Yeah. I'm having a hard time thinking of the other people in this episode. And also, I've guessed multiple women. They were not correct answers.
I know. I just like to harass you.
Yeah, I know you do.
To harass you. As the British would say.
Give me one of them.
Dr. Ramsey, who is the one that Derek consults with that does the surgery and then it
Derek
doesn't go
Derek is in
well.
This episode. That's right. Derek is... He has thing, the woman that he helped. Okay. Dang it. And I liked her. If I would have had notes on my phone, I would have remembered her. Okay. I don't know the last person.
The Boise doctor.
Fuck. They were in Boise. Too much time has passed from when we stopped recording.
I know.
That 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
So Adina Porter plays Dr. Ramsey, who is the doctor that Derek does the consult for when he is not yet back to operating. And he's like, this is how you should do it. And she was in one episode of Private Practice. Jim Turner plays Dr. Schachter, who is the guy doing like the potential hand surgery on Derek, but then doesn't do it because Callie's like, I can do it better. And he was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. Elizabeth Tobias, who is the doctor in Boise, who's Dr. Krieger, one episode of Private Practice, different episodes. Craig Susser plays Dr. Hurst, who is the guy that's like, she needs to be in psych. One episode of Private Practice, not the same episodes. And then Patrick Quinlan is the flight nurse who said, what the hell do they do to this guy? Also in an episode of Private Practice, also a different episode. So none of the four of the five of them were in Private Practice, but none of them were in the same episodes.
Okay. I love that. Speaking also of Shondaland, mm-hmm. Jessica and I just binge watched The Residence.
Oh my God. Did you love it? It's so funny.
Loved it. So,
it's so funny.
Is this the show that you were telling me to watch for a long time?
Yeah, well, not a long time because it just came out like 1 or 2 months ago, but I watched all of it in like a day because it's so good. And yes, very funny, very different for Shondaland, but so well done. Loved the casting, incredible. The writing, so good. Like, I laughed out loud so much.
Yeah, it was a great show. Big fan. She was like, I want to watch this show called The Residence. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, okay. When I saw that it was only 8 episodes, I was like, yeah. I could commit to that.
Yes. I love a limited series.
Yeah, we watched it over the course of, I think, 4 or 5 nights. So mm-hmm. we watched, I think, one episode the first night. And then they kind of get to a point where you're like,
I got
to
see what's
next. Well, we
have
to fucking watch this next episode. It was, they had cliffhanger elements from How to Get Away with Murder.
Mm-hmm.
It had a very, like, I think they actually make a meta joke from that douchebag Harry Hollinger guy, like a Benoit Blanc. They make it Knives Out reference. Mm-hmm. It was very Knives Out-y. But I really liked the show. Big fan.
10 out of 10 recommend. I hope they do more like that.
Yeah. The casting was perfect. The ending, I want to say I had it narrowed down to two people at the end, and the person that they said it was, I was in my top two.
They definitely did a great job of redirecting you so many times where you're like, definitely believe it could be X person. And then, I like the way that they did it, the way they wrapped it up. So good, so funny.
Yeah.
Definitely recommend if you're looking for a quick binge.
Yeah. Yeah, big fan. And that's coming from someone who does not binge watch shows. We binge watched that show.
Yeah.
Also, sidebar, did you see that they had it in memory for Andre Brouwer?
Yes.
Did you know why?
No.
So he was supposed to be the chief usher. They filmed half his scenes. And then he passed away.
Oh, that's so sad.
So Giancarlo Esposito, I think is his name. He came in and he did that. So I think he did a great job, but like
he did,
fucking Captain Holt, man. Give me that guy in anything. Rest in peace.
So sad.
Yeah.
Sad when they die. Anyways, okay. So let's talk. We didn't talk much about Meredith and Derek. So Meredith, I think, is in what, like, Callie and Meredith, I think, are in the hardest positions. Yeah. Callie, we already talked about basically like carrying so much as someone who wasn't there. Meredith is being a support person while also trying to go through this. It kind of, to me, reminds me of post shooting when she's trying to make sure everyone else is okay and kind of neglects her own well-being. I don't think she's neglecting her own well-being in this case because it does feel like she is communicating more about it. Obviously, you know, they all went through it together. They're all dealing with it differently. But there's not like a secret that she's keeping like there was after the Gary Clark thing. But I think she's trying so hard to be there for Derek. She's trying to be there for Christina. She's trying to be there in a way for Callie. She's trying to like keep her life the same, as much as she can for the stability of it. But yeah, she also has, you know, suffered this loss of her sister, obviously. So I just think that Meredith is also in like a really heavy place because she's like walking the line of like wanting to be supportive of whatever Derek is choosing, but also like she wants to push him to try to get back to 100%. And I think she is doing that because she thinks that's what is best for him. But he's kind of in like an in-between place of like, do I want to try and be disappointed, or should I just accept that this is where it is now and like try and do what I can at this with, you know, the hand I've been dealt.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
I will say to that point, he seems to have a fairly optimistic outlook of like, well, I can teach or I can, you know, do whatever. And he's still obviously involved in the surgeries from what we saw.
Yeah.
He jumped in and was able to give really, you know, critical feedback in a moment that the surgery could have really gone sideways very quickly. So I think that's important to note there is he seems to be kind of owning his own destiny better than I think we've seen Derek do in the past.
They definitely could have put him as basically like his life is falling apart because he's no longer, you know, Derek Shepherd, neurosurgeon.
Right.
But he's really, like I said previously, he's got a good outlook of like, at the end of the day, we survived. And like that
Zola
can
has
be
her
enough.
Parents. Yeah. And
we have each other, you know. They are still kind of going back and forth about the Boston thing. We see like a little bit of that, and then Meredith and Christina have a little bit of that. But Meredith is very much like, we're just gonna stay here. And it doesn't really seem like he's pushing back so much on that anymore. That to me makes sense.
One thought I did have with Derek is he goes from like one scene where it's very positive, very like optimistic outlook. It makes sense where we're alive for Zola. That's all that matters. Like blah, blah, blah. And then like 10 minutes later, he's like, man, Mark will wake up. He idolizes me. He's blah, blah, blah. I'm so incredible. He won't die because I'm amazing. Don't make me look like an ass, Mark. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, bro, you hit all the spectrums in one foul swoop, one episode. You made me like you, and then you went cringy very quickly.
I like the way that he and Callie kind of have the back and forth about Mark. I just think it's very still true to the previously established way that Derek and Mark are with each other. Just
I don't think you're wrong. It's just annoying.
I mean, it's not like they're broing.
Yeah.
And then when he has the conversation with Mark where he's frustrated that the other doctor wasn't successful when he's like, I would have been. And that's kind of who he seems to feel the safest with about expressing his like frustration with the hand situation. Cause he's like, I don't know if I'll ever get it back. Cause I like think that he's kind of separating that from Meredith because I do think that he doesn't want to put more on Meredith and potentially like, I don't know. I just think that he is doing that in a way to like protect Meredith's mental health. Cause she's doing
sense.
So much to like protect him. So I think Mark is just like his safe space to kind of vent out about that without being like pushing him to do anything else.
Yeah.
Mark just says like, well, we'll be fine. Which unfortunately is not the case.
Yeah. Nobody is fine. They say we're fine. Everything is fine. They say that a lot this episode. And we
it's
know
so
we
true.
Have hindsight. It is just not fine for anyone.
Yeah. It's a bummer how not fine it is so often.
Yeah.
We should mention like when they're all sitting like Meredith, Alex, Christina, or in Christina's room with April, and they're like eating their lunch or whatever. And Alex is like, how long are we pretending this is going to be okay? About Christina not being
just
a person,
staring
basically
at them. Yeah.
And Meredith's like, as long as she needs, like, it's fine. And then April's like, this is refresh. Like, April makes a joke. It's funny. And then she's like, come on, come on, Yang. Like, it's just, you know, take a shot. I'm right here.
Yeah. That was definitely a funny moment. What does she say? It's, if you can't say something nice, then don't say anything at all. And yeah, she's like taking it literally. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah. She never has anything nice to say.
Never has anything nice to say. Yeah.
And then, you know, Meredith asks Jackson if he's keeping Mark updated, because she's like, everything's going to be fine. Like, everybody just keep on keeping on. Keep the status quo. Everything's going to be, they're going to come back. Everything will be fine.
So. I think that's the first time in that scene when Meredith says, Jackson, you're keeping Mark updated on everything. I think that's the first time we realize that he doesn't go directly into the coma.
Yeah.
I think. Because that, or that's, I think, kind of the reveal for me. That was the minute that I'm like, oh, he didn't go directly into the coma. There was some time, yeah, where he was up and at him, you know, like not, yeah, walking, but like being Mark.
So when, then Callie has the moment where she's like falling asleep and Derek tells her to go home. And he's like, you've been bouncing before between here and Arizona. Like, you just need to go home and get rest. And Callie's like, I don't want to leave and like have him die. And, you know, that's when Derek's like, he won't, like, he'll stay alive because I'll tell him to, ha ha ha, whatever. And then like they show Callie running back in. She's like, I shouldn't have left. What happened? Did he die? And then he's awake. He's like, Torres, where you been? Gut wrenching. And they're all kind of outside watching. And that's when you see everyone's all happy. And Richard's like, I have some concerns.
Well, that's when we learn about the fucking Surge.
Yes. So.
And he's not just a gym leader from Pokemon.
Is potentially a terminally ill patient, gets like a burst of energy or a surge before the end. They have epiphanies. They start like telling people what to do, like, with, if, you know, if I die, do this and this and this. They have epiphanies, you know, and then we see all of those things happening. And that's kind of how Mark also realizes that he is in it. Derek and Jackson and Callie are like, this isn't the Surge. He's just being like, he's just back. He's Mark. Everything's great. I do love when Jackson's talking to him and Mark says something and Jackson goes, when you talk, I feel like a male prostitute.
They're talking about the,
he's like, a woman comes in for a breast, augmentation. And he's like, did you tell her that her breasts are beautiful the way they are? And Jackson's like, no, because that's weird.
That's not how we talk to people. And then Mark's like, but that's how we talk to women. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, you know, fine. You know, I'm going to start, yeah, going, walking around saying, your breasts are beautiful the way they are to everyone I see. And see how,
again,
far that
gets if
me.
They ask, then it's fine. But if they don't ask, what are you doing?
So what you're saying is, if I give, as a man, mm-hmm, an unrequested compliment, I'm actually just mansplaining to them their looks.
Yeah. Just don't talk to women.
Just don't talk to
women. You specifically.
Men, listen, speak when spoken to only, or else it will be mansplaining somehow.
Correct.
Honestly, okay, though, there's some of you men out there who should just stop speaking completely. Just,
that
just
is
stop.
So true. Andrew Tate, the Paul brothers. Okay. Anyways, so that conversation with Jackson leads Mark into one of his epiphanies, where he says, she's a person, she's scared, blah, blah, blah. And then he said, the things we worry about, so pointless, and we get to help take that worry away. It's why we're doctors. It's why we're people. But somehow we forget that all that matters is people. And whether we walk away leaving them better or worse for having met us, we control that, Avery. I want you to promise me something. If you love someone, you tell them. Even if you're scared that it's not the right thing, even if you're scared that it'll cause problems, even if you're scared that it will burn your life to the ground, you say it and you say it loud, and then you go from there. And you see Jackson realize, like, oh, this is an epiphany. And then Mark is like, hey, I need to see Sophia right now. And that was, that
and
was
then
another
it takes
thing,
him
like asking
7 hours
family
for them to, yeah, go. Which is, you know, whatever.
So yeah, he goes and he's like, I gotta get Sophia right now. And that's when we see April's like, we need to talk because I'm leaving. And Jackson's like, yeah, yeah, I'll call you. And she's like, no, I'm like leaving the state.
I was fired. I have to go now. This is the worst.
Yeah.
But the way that, I mean, she stays there for another couple days after she was fired. But in the scene with Christina, was she in regular clothes or was she in...
No, she was in scrubs.
So, like...
Maybe she was, like, finishing, like, charting or, like, finishing up with the patients that she had. Or, like, maybe Owen was like, hey, can you maybe help out before you get fired? Who knows?
Yeah, it's not me. It's me.
So, yeah.
What a guy. Just firing people, kicking her when she's down. But yeah, that when I saw her in that scene with Christina, that's when I was like, total existential crisis. Is she actually gone? And did I forget about this? Yeah. No, she was actually gone. Actually gone. It was weird watching Christina just blank face stare at people. For yeah. Sure.
Yeah, it's unsettling. Well, because she's either staring at the ceiling or then it's like sometimes looking like through people, like not even seeing that anyone's there, but then throwing the vase. So like clearly understanding.
She's hearing things. Yeah. Yeah. When she says, I know we talked about this scene already, but when she says, I can't leave.
Mm-hmm. I can't
get
out.
Are we supposed to, I can't get out. Right. You're right. Thank you for correcting me on that. Are we meant to believe that there's a part of her that will always be existing in that forest? Like a part of her died in that forest?
Yeah, I think it's like, I can't get out of this trauma, basically. Like I can't get away from these terrible things that I just lived through. Which is, I think, why she then does decide to leave. Okay, hold on. Before we talk about her fight with Meredith, I want to ask you about her and Owen. Were you surprised to see them like together basically? And he's like, I'm just going to take care of you again. Because
yes.
We know she leaves and he doesn't.
Yeah. It's a little jarring when clearly she cares about him and loves him enough that she comes out of this to him with him. In a very intimate setting where this man is washing her.
Yeah.
I don't know what the resolution on this is, but it feels like the writers want you to believe that they're not done, mm-hmm. even though she left with no communication, which... Was Owen in the house when she took all of her stuff downstairs and got in the car and left? I don't know. Yeah, I'm just confused all around with this, genuinely.
Last week when she's talking to Meredith on the FaceTime and then hangs up, Owen's like, oh, how's Christina? Like, it kind of makes it seem like they aren't speaking again.
Right. Right.
So that's where it's like, ooh, what's happening? What's going to happen? Who knows?
Unless he's giving her space or just saying like, I know that we love each other and we're together, blah, blah, blah. But you need to focus on your career and you need to have Meredith as your friend because I can't give you something. I didn't go through this trauma with you. I don't know. I really don't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's confusing for me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Christina, you're so close to getting rid of Owen.
For the love of God. yeah. So. What was I going to say? Something about Owen being the worst.
I don't know.
I
actually don't think he's being the worst. I think he's doing the best that he can. I just think that they're...
No, I just mean in general. Honestly, he doesn't really do anything in this specific episode that's terrible. I just mean in general, he's the worst.
Yeah, that's fair. Not great. Could be better.
Yeah, always. Christina, anything? Oh, so Christina leaves. She packs up her car and she leaves, and her and Meredith have this big fight where Meredith's like, why are you leaving? Like, you should be staying here. And why are you running away? And Christina's like, why aren't you running away? Like, this is clearly the worst place anyone could ever exist. Like, only terrible things happen here.
When Meredith says,
Seattle Grace,
like,
mercy death.
Yeah. When Meredith at one point is like, no, like, we've just gone through some bad stuff. I'm like, you've gone through
every
three.
Bad thing.
These are things that once in a lifetime, if you're in the 0.1% that these things happen to, you've gone through three cataclysmic things that I could think of off the top of my head. Yeah. Like that's insane.
Yeah.
Just don't say bad things happen. You're living in an alternate universe.
Yeah, this is not in a fake... the norm. You're just accepting too much.
And if that's the case, Meredith, you have a great therapist. I need their number. Like,
it's true. Meredith, it just feels like she's like, this is just what everybody does, right? And Christina's like, you should not. That should not be the vibe.
Yeah, no, this is not what we do here. Because I was trying to think of it. It was, the three that came off to my head was her surviving the bomb going off in front of her with Dylan, the mass shooting, mm-hmm. and the plane crash were the three that like immediately came to me. Right. I know that there's more things, right?
Ellis.
The Ellis thing, the almost drowning thing.
Almost drowning. Thatcher hitting her because Susan dies of the sneeze.
Oh, yeah.
Lexi dies.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And just think, Weber could have been her dad.
So true. She could have been engaged to Alex.
And he could have cheated on her with April.
So good.
I really like that alternate universe episode. Also, special shout out to the haters of the musical episode and the haters of the news/office documentary episode. I like those two episodes, too.
Yeah. Very divisive. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of episodes you haven't liked. I'll say that.
Yeah.
You have mostly a positive affiliation with things.
I can't wait till we start getting into episodes that I don't like. I'm sure there's going to be some.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost sad because I'm mentally preparing myself for going and watching an episode and thinking, man, remember when we had plane crashes? And
like yearn for Izzy and George.
And Mark.
Yeah.
Lexi. You had a pause there. They come back. Is Mark not
No,
dead?
I was just saying, like, well, the difference is yearning for people that are the worst versus yearning for people that we actually liked.
That's fair. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm finally starting to coming around on George. You know, I think he got a bad rap. I think George is the star of the show, actually.
So many times I see videos that's like, who's the saddest death on television? And they're like, George O'Malley. I'm like, that's not true. It's not even close to true.
No, George and Lexi both are more sad than...
Mark and Lexi.
Who did I say?
George and Lexi.
I meant...
George is more sad than George.
Man, George's death pales in comparison to George's death.
Hashtag team bus. Okay, so with Christina and Meredith, the fight kind of ends with Meredith saying, you're right, I'm not your person, and Owen isn't your person. Your person is you, and it always has been, which is a bummer.
But also fair, like, you have to be your own biggest advocate.
Well, yeah, but that's not what that term means for them. And Meredith is using it to be hurtful, because she's upset.
Well, Christina doesn't...
Hurting people hurt people.
Yeah, but Christina doesn't stop her. Christina doesn't correct her.
No. But that's true to the nature. She's just like, you know what, fine, I'm going to go. And she does. And then... Meredith calls and leaves her a voicemail, which a part of that is the voiceover for the back half of the episode. So I'm going to read the voiceover now.
Do it.
And I'll pause when it says, when it gets, like, I'll notate when it, you know, gets to the part where it is voicemail versus voiceover. So the first part is, I had this memory game when I was a kid, a bunch of cards face down in rows. Each card has a picture. You turn it over, look at it, and you turn it back over. Then you have to try and remember where its matching card was. Sometimes you have no idea, and other times it shows us exactly what we need to see. The cards seem completely out of order and random, but you keep turning them over. The more cards you see, you get a sense of how everything fits together. So that's like the top of the episode. And then she calls Christina and she's like, sorry, I haven't called, but neither have you. Hold on. It's cut out part of this. She says something else before she gets into her speechy speech. Hey, so I haven't called because, well, neither have you. So you were right about all of it. You were right. This is a place where horrible things happen. You were right to go. You're probably escaping disaster. Look at me. I practically grew up here, and you're right. It's hurt me in ways I'll probably never get over. I have a lot of memories of people, people I've lost forever. But I have a lot of other memories, too. This is the place where I fell in love, the place where I found my family. This is where I learned to be a doctor, where I learned how to take responsibility for someone else's life. And it's the place I met you. So I figure this place has given me as much as it's taken from me. I've lived here as much as I've survived here. It just depends on how I look at it. I'm going to choose to look at it that way and remember you that way. Hope you're good. Bye. And then it shows Christina calling her back. And Christina says, you are my person. You will always be my person.
Which is cute and kind, and it brought me joy.
Yeah. They need each other in a weird way. And they get each other in a weird way. And I, again, I will always give Derek the credit of understanding that he won't ever understand their relationship, but not ever trying to, like, push it or overstep into it or, like, say it's stupid. Versus Owen, who exclusively is like, fuck Meredith.
Yeah.
He sucks.
I'm glad they didn't just show, like, how messed up would it have been if they just showed the voicemail, all the voiceover. Christina's listening to it. She's, like, hearing the voicemail. And then she just puts her phone back in her pocket.
She's like, gotta go. Dr. Mr. Feeney needs to talk to me.
Yeah, that would have been diabolical. I'm glad they didn't do that.
Yeah. I like the way that they resolve stuff is kind of just to push through it.
Which is good.
I like that about them. I think it's consistent to their relationship.
Yeah. Let's do a quick pause for sponsors, and then we'll hit the home stretch here with anything else you think we missed here. Be right back. And we are back. Hello.
And here we are. Is there anything else you can remember that you want to say about Meredith or Derek? Oh, when they're first in Boise and Miranda and Richard get there and they brought Zola.
So cute.
And
big fan.
The trauma, like Meredith, like doesn't understand. She's like, where's my sister? Got to do this. And she's like freaking out. And then when she sees Zola, it like grounds her. And she's like, okay, this is now I'm like here. This is reality. And so I like that moment. And that made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That definitely, it's a bummer that there was so much trauma and so much like, delusionment that she was like, where is my sister? Where is Lexi?
Yeah.
Like, dude, she's been dead. She died 2 weeks ago in Gray's time. Nope. Yeah. She died in the finale. I had to think about that.
Yeah.
So that I get. I feel like I would feel the same thing if I saw Marlo in that situation.
Yeah,
I'd be like, oh shit, my baby's here. Like something bad has happened. The thing that I wanted to point out, I know we talked about it a little bit. I just wanted to reiterate. I think it's really cool that scene where the one doctor is doing the surgery and like he gives her the plan on how to do it with Owen. She goes and does it. Then he goes into the gallery and the intern's like, yo, Derek, check out this cool thing that she's doing. And Derek's like, yeah.
Pretty
I know.
Neat.
Very cool. That intern doesn't even know.
And then, they do also mention that Derek is doing a lot of teaching while he's not operating.
Which is great. Big fan of that. And then I guess the patient starts to crash and he jumps in and he explains what's going on to the doctor and she's able to recover the situation. So that was really cool.
No, I don't think she recovers it. That's the whole thing. So he's like, she's like, get her head up. And he's like, no, you got to tilt her down. And then he's like, okay, do this. And she's like, no, I'm going to clip it. And he's like, no, don't clip it because this terrible thing will happen. And she's like, well, I clipped it. and then the terrible thing happens.
Then the person crashes. But he does jump in there is the takeaway is he jumps in, he tries to help. So he's still in the OR. He's still doing the surgery pieces. Like he's helping with the surgery pieces, talking people through.
He doesn't completely remove himself from it. Yeah.
Yeah. His brain is still very special.
Also, when he first gets to Boise, And he is like, he sees the x-ray of his hand and he like tries to say, I'm a surgeon. And then like he goes under. And then when they gets back, Callie says they did this, but I went in and reversed it and did this other thing instead. And then whatever the hand doctor's plan is, she's like, I would do a graft instead. And Derek's like, well, what if it doesn't take and I lose more? And she's like, yes, it's riskier. Like, you're probably right. That's why he's not doing it. And then Derek says, but that's why you should do it. And, you know, we are led to believe that, like, oh, she says the graft is perfect. And then, you know, Alex runs in about Arizona. But then Meredith comes in and is like, what do you need? Again, she's trying to, like, carry everybody through everything. And but it where well, if you had to make a prediction on the hand surgery that Callie does based on this week and what we saw last week, what do you think?
I think it went well. I think it was fine. Totally.
And what
totally
do you think will happen moving forward?
Long term, Derek will have 100%. He'll be there. He'll be good.
Okay.
And yeah, I don't know why this graft reminded me of a thing that I saw on Instagram the other day. I saw a reel where someone like took some of the bark off of a branch of a tree, put a cucumber around it, then put a plastic cup around it, filled it with dirt, and they snipped it underneath, and boom. That's a new tree. I don't know why the graft thing reminded me of that, but the it's wild.
Why did the cucumber get involved?
I think the cucumber was the it had to become compost for the nutrition for the roots and everything inside of it. So I'll see if I can find that video again and send it to you.
Yeah, I'm not. Cool. It's not tracking for me, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. But that's okay. What I think of now when I think of grafts and hands specifically to Derek. That's what I think of now.
Okay. Christina,
but 100%. The little numbness that he went through in that surgery where he mm-hmm. he dropped the clamp, that was a one-time thing. Totally okay. Healed.
Arizona gets the leg scan. The doctor's like, we should probably amputate, and she's like, I withhold consent. Take me home to Cali. And Arizona is mean and hateful to Alex.
She did refer to the doctors and the hospital as Dump Truck Idaho, so
right in front of them.
Also mean to the doctors in Idaho. Yeah,
she's not being a nice lady.
She's been through a lot. We should cut her a little bit of slack.
You know, a hard several days.
You know, it hasn't been her day, her week, her month, or even her year.
Mm-hmm. Her leg was DOA.
Mm. Callie will be there for her.
Yep.
When the rain starts to fall.
And then Arizona crashes. They cut off the leg. Richard goes over Mark's will directive. Yeah, I think we got most of it, if not everything. Oh, we see April fly away. Jackson wants to meet her at Joe's. He goes to Joe's. She's not there. She's on the airplane. She left. That was really the only thing we didn't talk about.
So, did he think she was really going to wait? And I mean, also, why
he went over there looking for her, so probably.
I also just am thinking to myself, like, okay. You immediately didn't take Mark's advice. He should have said, April, we need to talk at Joe's, but the topic of what's going to happen at Joe's is I need you to know that I love you.
Yeah.
Now, I need to go get a dying man his baby.
Yeah.
Because I don't want this to take 7 hours.
Yeah, the arrival with Sophia to Mark crashing is the worst. I hate it so much. I mean, I also hate, obviously, when they talk about Lexi. And the wolves or whatever, but yeah, I hate it when he finally gets there with Sophia and Mark is crashing. It's very upsetting to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, the last little bit of the episode is kind of all of these flashbacks culminating into what we see then last episode with like Mark being in a coma and eventually dying, Arizona losing her leg, Alex leaving, but then not leaving. April's already gone. Jackson is just trucking along with the plastics and kind of taking over and pushing through losing Mark. So yeah, Derek still in recovery from the surgery that Callie does. Meredith and Christina are obviously back on good terms now. So yeah, that's where we're at. So let's rate it and then we'll do some predictions.
I'm gonna give this episode like a 4.1.
Wow. I think it's like a 4.7 for me.
I think the problem is I really liked last episode so much.
Interesting.
That this episode felt, I'm glad we did it. Like, I'm glad that we saw it. I'm glad that I got to watch it fully live and do like a reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you knew the outcome of everything. So it's kind of like, you could never go back.
It does feel like the stakes are a little lower because you know what happens.
Yeah. This is the prequel. This is the Star Wars prequels. You know Anakin becomes Darth Vader. Well, they have some moments. So yeah, this is a 4.1. It's good to get some. I think it gives me a little bit more closure that they did everything they could with Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that Mark didn't just arrive from the field into the coma. So he got to really say some of his goodbyes. It wasn't people just saying goodbye to him. That yeah. feels nice. And then, but also you get to see the realness of the trauma and like the healing journey for Christina, for Meredith. Mm-hmm. They go through that. You get the terrible backstory of Lexi's dead body.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which
yeah,
they
I think,
still had a body bag on yeah, the plane with Lexus. So there was still something they took.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not going to go up much, but I'm going to put this up to a 4.3. Actually, now okay. I'm like talking myself into a 4.3.
Yeah.
So Alicia, take that 4.1 out, put a 4.3 in. But yeah, I mean, the stakes were lower. I think that's the best way to describe it. I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. So for me, it's really close to last week. It's just like, if they had done this one first, I think, again, the stakes are like, it's just a different reveal than what we would have seen last time. Like, the reveals are just different. But I think it's really, like, pretty comparable. Like, either one really could have been the premiere. I really don't, again, I don't know the choice of, like, why they put the other one first, but either one would work in either order, in my opinion. So... yeah, I'm going to say 4.7. Obviously, some really great performances from Sandra Oh and Eric mm-hmm. Dane specifically mm-hmm. as Christina and Mark. So, yeah, I think it's a great episode. It's a bummer. A lot of bummers in it, but it's good. It does the job. So let's make predictions. Okay, do you think Mark is alive? Just kidding.
I did have a moment. Where I thought, this is just all an alternate reality universe. He wakes up, they they killed off Mark, and then they were like, guys, what were we thinking?
Yeah.
We gotta bring him back. They're gonna bring him back. So officially he will come back, but he won't be alive. He'll come back as a Denny Duquette ghost. Maybe we also get another What If episode, and it's just Mark and Lexi making, you know, babies and yeah. shit.
Great. Love that. So Derek and Meredith. And Derek's hand journey. You said he would be fine. You said
yeah,
that right.
he's gonna be fine. I guess they're gonna move into the house. They did mention the house.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a misdirect and Derek is gonna die on the way to the house, like I've predicted for a long time, and he will mm-hmm. never even get to see the fruits of his labor.
Mm-hmm.
He won't even get to have intercourse with his wife in his own house that he's built.
On his crooked deck.
Which is the American dream. Build your own house and make love to your wife in it. I really don't know with them, but I do think they're still going to kill Derek. Derek's going to die somehow. But in the meantime, his hand will be fine.
Okay, Callie in Arizona.
Oh, I'm very curious to see this one play out. I don't know how they're going to make their recovery, like relationship wise, but
yeah.
there's a journey to go on with that. I will also tell you, I'm so glad they didn't actually show us an infected Arizona leg. So glad.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it would have been gross with bugs in it.
So gross.
Christina and Owen.
I think, unfortunately, I'm leaning towards they're gonna be fine. They're just gonna deal. I don't know. Owen lost he fired his best friend. He, quote unquote, best friend, like he, you know, did all the stuff with Henry and all that. But Christina, I think, is going through her own healing journey, and he's just giving her space.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, honestly, Christina's mental journey around her relationship with Owen is better, admitting and knowing and coming to terms with the fact that Meredith is her person, not Owen.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about that that I think might be freeing for their relationship, and that'll be better for her.
Okay. Anyone else? Just make a random prediction about the new interns that we've basically not seen at all.
Two of them will die on screen.
Okay.
Sorry, podcast burp.
Anything for Richard?
I don't have anything for Richard right now. I do. I don't have a prediction as much as I am curious about the direction for Alex and Arizona and this potential new guy coming in. I think that part of Arizona's journey, again, she will have to come in and work underneath some person who is going to be the attending or the chief of pediatrics who she doesn't like, and then have to win back that spot. So that'll be part of her journey again. I think her and Alex will be fine because Alex is staying.
So they show this guy that they're bringing in to basically replace her. So when do you think she'll be back?
It's hard to tell. I think, obviously, it's hard to tell. I don't know anything. I'm gonna give it. This is gonna be a longer journey. I think that this, like, this will be the entire season. I think the entire season will be kind of a will she, won't she get back into surgery. So all of season 9, I think, is gonna be consumed by a side story being Arizona's comeback and Christina coming and making her way back to Seattle. I think those are going to be the two very big overarching stories of what's going to be going on this season.
Okay. And then anything for Miranda?
No, I want to see her and Warren's story continue to play out. They're cute together.
Yeah, I agree. Do you have anything else to predict or say or notate about your watching experience for this episode?
I can't think of anything. I did watch this and have live reactions. The reactions were not as jarring as the questions of coming into last episode. Joe person, we didn't even see her once this episode.
Yeah. We do actually have Discord questions.
Okay, let's do it. Rapid fire.
How do you feel about the decision to have this episode after the premiere? Kind of talked about that.
Yeah, it's fine. The stakes were lower. That's all.
What hurts more, seeing Mark miss out on his last chance to see Sophia, or if we'd had to sit through it knowing it was the last time he would be with her?
Missing out on it.
Yeah.
Missing out on it sucks.
Zoe says,
I just don't know what took so long. What took so long?
I don't know.
I'm annoyed. Sorry. What did Zoe ask?
Zoe said the motherfucking surge.
For real.
And then, feelings on Meredith's borderline delusional stance that everything will be fine and or is fine. Monologue on Christina's voicemail, did you think this was a version of her typical pushing through, which I kind of think it still is?
To answer both those, so I think Meredith saying everything's gonna be fine, she just really doesn't have a choice, right? Like, she has to choose that it's gonna be fine, or else you wallow in your own misery
again. We've seen her go through so many traumas at this point. She has a process. Sure. She has a processing process.
So, and then the other, what was the other part? Pushing through. Yeah, I think she had to call Christina and tell Christina how she felt. So I'm glad that she didn't do that. And we've seen Meredith be stubborn. I'm glad that she wasn't in this moment.
And then she makes also a good point of Alex's first solo surgery was a leg amputation, but below the knee. And she said feelings on Alex being the one to amputate, but we talked about that.
I didn't remember that.
And then here's the quote. That's the quote from Carmen really killed me because he was like, they wouldn't do that. And it was, they wouldn't have gone to this big production just to say, all right, he's back for one more episode to see him suffer and then go into the coma, because that's important context that we need. So Shelby had posted that and was like, this quote from Carmen killed me because he really said they wouldn't do that. And then out loud, I said, oh, yes, they would.
Oh, yes, they do. Yeah. Oh, yes, they do.
So, yeah. So thanks for the questions, guys. And I think that's really it.
Do you have any predictions?
I have a lot, but I'm not going to share them. But yeah, I think we're going to wrap it up here because we're done. We've covered it all. It was a little chaotic, but so is this episode. So I think it kind of yields itself to that.
Yeah, if you guys are listening to this version, so again, like as a reminder, I watched this episode straight through, took no notes, and then 10 minutes later, we started recording. So, oh, someone's at your front door.
Yeah, it's my children.
So, if you liked this way we had it set it up and you like kind of this journey and how we did everything, please send them an email to graysacademypod@gmail.com or message us on Instagrams, something like that. So, yeah, I feel good with where we're at right now.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Remember, you can go to graysacademypod.com. You can find our Instagram, TikTok, email, merch, everything there. And we just really appreciate all the support and love. I know I just keep getting new messages about people finding us and enjoying it and saying we're a good podcast to pair with a rewatch. And so many people just rewatch this show all the time. That's how it keeps getting so many seasons. We just really appreciate it. So make sure you keep sharing us and tell everyone you see ever about us. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, just remember,
no spoilies. We appreciate you all so much, and we'll see you all in the next one.